Hello, my friends. My name is Shelley K. Baggett. I'm Billy Brim's daughter, and it is with a great joy that I introduce to you today my new husband. His name is Dr. Thomas Benjamin Baggett III. And honey, would you just say a few lines and let people kind of get to know your voice?
Well, after that introduction, it's hard to say anything. Your new husband, Dr. Thomas Benjamin Baggett III. How about we shorten that down to just Tom?
Okay, well, that's warm and fuzzy.
Okay.
Hi, Brother Tom.
Hi.
And welcome to Mom's Broadcast, A Voice of One Witness. And
hey, I'm excited to be here.
Well, good. I'm glad because I want my friends to get to know you. You're kind of a new guy in the Brim family, so to speak. And just give a little bit about your background and who you are.
Okay. Well, I'm a third generation Pentecostal preacher.
Hallelujah.
And I'm also a dentist.
What a combination,
honey. I guess a second generation Pentecostal preacher dentist. My dad was also a dentist, and he pastored for more than 40 years.
So, wow. So dentistry and ministry.
Dentistry is ministry, and you add those two together, and you've got an inroad to doing a lot of things for God.
Well, he said that he would fill our mouth with good things. Do you do a lot of fillings of good things?
I do.
So that our youth is renewed.
And I take out some things that aren't so good. But I come from a Pentecostal background, and my grandfather was an old Brush Arbor Pentecostal preacher, started a lot of churches down on the Louisiana and Texas Gulf Coast.
Now, his name was Thomas Benjamin Baggett I, of course, the
Senior.
One and only.
Mm-hmm.
And how did he had a Methodist background, didn't he?
He did. He was an old fiery Methodist preacher. And when the Azusa Street outpouring took place in about 1907 or so, a lot of those brethren from that group, as they were gathered together, were originally from the Louisiana area.
Mm.
And so that message went back to Louisiana, to the home folk there, and he got a hold of it in a Brush Arbor, and it just changed his little Methodist life.
Tell about when, just recently, we were visiting your mother, who happens to still live in Louisiana, and she had a very primitive, but yet so much anointing, the voice of your grandfather and what he said.
Now, that was recorded back in the 60s, and of course, the recording was done. They thought they would go outdoors and do it outside, and you hear all the trains passing by and the automobiles. He was talking about how when he had first heard about this message, this Holy Ghost that
now,
people
received.
Now,
what year would that have been around?
Oh, this would have been around 1908, 1909, somewhere in that neighborhood. It was during the time the Azusa Street Revival was actually going on.
Okay.
So in that period of time, he actually served on one of the first, if not the first, board for the organization that formed from that revival.
Hmm.
And he sat on that board with, I think, G.T. Haywood and William Seymour and some of the others. So at any rate, when he first heard about it, the church that he was pastoring was a family church, and they asked him to go find out about this Holy Ghost and this language people were speaking in. And he said he just didn't believe people could do such a thing. And so he got on his horse and he rode about 20 miles away to a Brush Arbor meeting.
Hmm.
And when he got there, he found the people that were holding the meeting, and he started talking to them. And he said, I've come up here to find out about this experience. But if you're telling me I don't know God and I don't have a relationship with God, well, I'm going to get on my horse and I'm going to drive back south. And they said, oh, no, we just believe that there's more and God's got more for you. He said, well, I want more. I want all God's got. And they began to have their service that evening. They invited him to sing, and they gave him some type of a song book or something to sing with. And he was standing by the piano. And he had been in the ministry for many years, and he said they got so happy and they got to singing and people started speaking in tongues and just glorifying God and dancing around. And he said, I got nervous. And he said, it wasn't like me to get nervous, but I got nervous. And he said, then they decided they were going to have a testimony service and they started talking about what God had done. And he said, I'm telling you, the power of the Holy Ghost began to break out. And then it got to be my turn. And he said, when they turned to me, he said, the power of God hit me and I fell out by the piano, hit my head on the piano on the way down. Wow. And he said, I guess I've never been the same since. And so they came up and said, well, brother, you received the Holy Ghost. He said, well, now, I don't think I spoke in tongues. And they said, well, let's just pray till you're satisfied. And so he said, they laid hands on him. And he said, in about 5 minutes, he said, I was thoroughly satisfied that I had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's how he received his experience. And he headed on that horse back south. And from that experience, he got home. And the neighbors began to come. They saw him ride up, and they wanted to know what had happened. And he stood up on his porch at home and began to preach to his neighbors. And people came out of the woods, and for weeks you could hear them praying to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost all around the neighborhood. And you would hear one off in the distance speaking in tongues, and another one would come hollering, I got it. And that's how it was born down in South Louisiana. And from that, He became a Pentecostal Brush Arbor preacher, and he traveled the country, he and his brothers, setting up Brush Arbors and founding churches. And today there are at least 12 churches that I know of that he founded, rather large churches. And many, many, many ministers have come out of that ministry.
You also tell about, glory be to God, first of all. And you also tell, honey, about one of your first childhood memories of your grandfather. He would be reading the Bible. And have one of those little pencils where it was red on one.
Yeah, well, about the only two colors you had now, you
and
know,
blue on
pencil
the
back
other.
Then was blue on one end and red on the other.
And what would you do as a little kid?
Well, I wanted to underline my Bible too, so I got a pencil, and as he would sit and he would just read the Word of God, and he would just get so inspired, and he would begin to pray, and so it encouraged me to do the same. And so if you could just see my Bible, I mark up Bibles. My brother laughs at me. He says, what do? You just mark up the good parts? Because my Bible doesn't have very many black and white spots.
Well, that's one thing I love about you, and is the fact that you love the Word of God, and I see your Bible all marked up. But you got that from your grandfather. Good training. And now, your grandmother, you said that she reminded you a little bit about me, kind of like me.
You know, a lot of the same temperament. She loved to sing, and she was a preacher. My grandmother was an ordained Pentecostal minister, and she just loved the Word of God. She loved people, and she loved to touch people's lives. And she knew she was a good judge of character. The ministers back then didn't have a lot of education, but boy, they had the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And they knew how to judge people. And the Spirit would speak through them. And I remember there was a young boy came to Sunday school one morning, and we all, he was new, you know, and we, as kids, you kind of evaluate them, you know, and determine.
Right.
And I remember my grandmother saying, that kid's going to make it. He's going to make it. And my brother and I said, well, Mom, Grandma, how can you tell? And she said, because he's got syrup in his bucket.
If you had syrup in
your bucket, you're going to make it.
Oh, I love her.
And so.
Now, she loved to sing, you said.
Uh-huh.
And one song that you've been singing, a little bit on your guitar, we don't have it with us, but in the last few minutes we have on today's broadcast, can you sing a little bit of one of her favorite songs?
Oh, my goodness.
Now, folks, this isn't practice, but.
Well, no, you're talking about joy bells.
Yes, I'm talking about joy bells. Because, see, Pentecostal people had joy that I think a lot of us modern-day charismatics are missing. And so here are this little joy bell song.
They just love living for God. You know, it's just every day they got up and they didn't let the devil chase them around. They just got busy with being happy and living for God. And her little song went something like this. Oh, there's joy in my soul. Since the Lord made me whole, gave me peace that the world couldn't give. I rejoice evermore. His sweet name I adore. In His service each day now I live.
Oh, I love it.
Waves of glory, wondrous glory for me, over me like a sea billows roll. And the joy bells, mighty joy bells, keep a song ringing out in my soul.
Honey, that is a wonderful, wonderful song. We might get a lot of requests on people wanting us to come and sing Joy
Bells. Maybe
that
needs to be on a new album, a Joy Bells album.
Well, it does say in Romans chapter 14 that our kingdom is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
You know, their lives weren't complicated. They had simple lives. They didn't have a lot of money, didn't have a lot of material things. They didn't have to keep up a lot of things in life. And there's a lot to be said for that. Their lives, when they got up in the morning, they started it with the Word of God in prayer. And throughout the day, they went back and they nourished themselves on the Word of God. And I never remember a night where we went to bed without everybody getting on their knees and calling out to the Lord. And it was a real prayer meeting every night. If a neighbor came over or somebody came by to visit, there was a big prayer meeting before
Glory
they could go home.
Glory to God. Well, that sounds a lot like what Mom talks about in her book, The Road to Prayer Mountain, where in her own life, her great-grandfather, Pickard, how he would get on his knees and have the whole family get on their knees, and they would pray. And
that's a wonderful book. If people don't have that
maybe
book,
maybe we should make that the radio offer.
I think
this
so
week. If you just write in at Billy Brim Ministries or Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri 65615. And that will be our radio offer to you, The Road to Prayer Mountain.
Well, you know, in closing this out, one thing we need to always remember, we need to look back. He said, you know, seek the old paths, for therein you'll find rest for your weary soul. But the good old days can be now.
Oh, yeah.
We can have that in our lives right now.
Absolutely, because it's the same Holy Ghost.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
That's right. And the Lord is pouring out the same Holy Ghost.
And honey, is that the kind of life we have?
Oh, yes.
We have so much fun.
And I'm looking forward to these broadcasts this week where we'll be talking about not only our Pentecostal backgrounds, but bringing in your wonderful teacher, the Word of God.
Well, thank you,
honey. So people are going to be blessed in hearing us.
Well, we want to talk about a lot of things.
Yes.
God's been doing so much in our life, and I'm excited about
great
it.
Miracles
where He's taken. Hey, I've gone to Israel for my very first time.
Yeah, we've got to tell them about
that, too. And found out that my hair, all this time, I thought I was Scotch, Irish, and German, and now I find out that I've been a Hebrew all my life. And
it's amazing what you find out hanging around our family.
Just a little Jewish boy that you married.
So we'll have to invite the people to come back tomorrow. God
Let's do
bless
it.
You and thank you and shalom.
Shalom.